Okay, welcome everyone. I'd like to call the Ways and Means Committee meeting for July 9th, 2019 to order. You want to do roll call?
Archer?
Here.
Geraghtine?
Yes.
Mayo?
Here.
Maloney James? Maloney Joseph? Petit? Rodriguez?
Present.
Okay, and we don't have the minutes on here.
Okay. Well, then we can't do it then.
It's not the agenda. That's not true.
No, that's actually an illegal motion.
No, it's not. Why do you do that to me? Okay, so the minutes for what are the
11th and the 18th?
Oh, it's always been actually 16 years. It's a matter of
The June 11th meeting and June 18th. Did everybody get a chance to review the minutes?
A little bit.
Maybe.
Second. Thank you. All in favor?
I think I'd like 20 minutes to review the minutes.
Opposed? Okay, let's go right into the resolutions. Resolution number 15, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 1 of 2019, a local law amending the code of the County of Ulster in relation to local law number 5 of the 1991 local law adopting a hotel and motel room occupancy tax to clarify the tax law's application to short-term and vacation rentals to be held on Tuesday, August 13, 2019 at 6 p.m. Legislator Rodriguez.
Madam Chair, actually, as opposed to my normal postponement, my question is, I think the sponsor is planning on being here today.
So maybe we should hold off.
I was actually just going to ask that we actually table this.
Okay.
Until their arrival.
All in favor?
Can I just ask a question?
Sure.
Bert, what's your opinion regarding this? I know we've been talking about it for...
Can we have... Let's hold it. If we're going to ask that question, I think it's important to have the sponsor. So I think it's a great question, but let's hold it till the sponsor gets here.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay.
Right.
And then we'll hold the next one as well.
Mary Beth, would you mind seconding the motion?
Oh,
to table?
Sure. Second.
Yeah, thank you.
Table.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? I'm going to make a resolution of block 27, resolution 273 through 285.
Whoa.
Motion to move the block.
Okay. Second?
May I? Okay, well, I guess.
Yes.
Speaking on the block, just really quickly,
yes.
Just the reason why, just out of just curiosity.
We're running out of time.
They're all contracts.
They're all contracts.
No, but just making sure that just like you know. All right.
And
this there you go. See that?
They're all the same program.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Good enough. Okay. Aye.
Okay. On the block resolutions.
Aye. Did we vote? Aye.
No,
we have to move.
No,
on
we
the
moved it. Now we have to vote
okay, so
on.
So I move to
approve the block.
Approve the block. Okay. Second.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. On the blocked motion. Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. So moved. Resolution 286, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the County Unlimited Care, Inc., Department of Social Services. Move.
Move.
Second.
Second.
Any questions? Yes. Legislator Rodriguez.
Given our earlier statement, I mean, we have what looks like an additional 1, 2, 3, 4 additional contracts. Did you also want to block those as well? Or?
86 and 87 are the same, but 88. Different.
They're different. So
89.
Let's just, they're different.
Oh, just
these are for nurses. 86 and 87 are for nurses on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
So if a child needs a ventilator, we're responsible for making sure that they have nurses all the way through the day.
Okay.
Once they are in, like, kindergarten and it's public school, then the school takes over that responsibility. But this is, again, for preschool.
Okay, on resolution 286.
Aye.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? 287, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county, J&D Ultra Care Corp., Department of Social Services.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 288, approving the execution of a contract amendment in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county, Northeast Parent and Child Society, Inc., Department of Social Services. Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 289, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county, Family of Woodstock, Inc., Department of Social Services. Move.
Move it.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 290, approving the execution of a contract amendment in excess of $50,000 entered into by Tyler Technology, by the county, with Tyler Technologies, Inc., Department of Information Services. Move.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Legislator Rodriguez.
Through the chair to the Deputy County Executive, did we actually ever get that number as to how much we actually spend on Tyler Technologies?
No.
Overall?
Yeah.
Not just the...
Between
not
the
just
public safety and finance system?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to make a note of that. Okay.
Right.
On the resolution, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 291, approving the execution of a contract amendment causing the aggregate amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000 entered into by the County Visual Computer Solutions, Inc., Ulster County Sheriff.
Move it.
Second. Question? This is for the phone system?
This is for scheduling.
Oh, this is for
scheduling.
This is
for police and corrections timekeeping.
Oh, okay.
It's their timekeeping system.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 292, approving the execution of a contract amendment causing the aggregate amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county, Pintigaro and Deutsch Consulting Engineers PC Veteran Services.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Legislator Rodriguez.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I mean, can you guys briefly just tell us?
Yeah, so this is adding Seeker into the design services for the Veteran Cemetery.
You'll absolutely see that resolution coming up, Hector's amendment project.
Does that amendment include this 26?
Yes.
So we're kind of counting it twice?
No.
No.
This is amending the contract with the design firm.
Okay.
That's amending the capital.
Got it.
So we have to amend both.
We need one. Yep.
So
technically, in order, the capital project should probably
come first. But it's all right. Herbie's not here, so it's okay. We can do it.
And this wasn't anticipated?
So this project is led by veterans. Service agency, and basically they just were not aware of the Seeker requirement, and so when they went to Dennis said that they needed to actually have the design firm work on Seeker for them, so we're adding it in.
So it's not scope creep on this project?
No, it's just something that we needed to add in the project.
And they just didn't know at the time.
Correct.
That wasn't part of the...
They don't normally lead capital projects. So
got it.
It was just an oversight.
Okay. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 293, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county, Complete Building Solutions, Inc., Department of Public Works. Move. Second?
Second.
Okay, could you explain, what this is for us?
This is our janitorial services.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was the other one.
It's
the
most buildings. I mean, in the Schedule B or Schedule A.
I did see it. I mixed this up with the other one.
Yeah.
And I just will say, as I said at Public Works, first, this they comply with our green codes in terms of all the things they use. But second, I just think that they do a fantastic job. And every person that I've ever bumped into is so pleasant. So I'm just really happy with this contract.
The same person you're bumping into all the time.
That makes it easier.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, opposed? Resolution 294, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county, 3M Company, Department of Public Works. Having one of those days. Second?
Just one. Second.
Okay.
This is the one.
Yes.
So this is for software and an initial inventory of all of our traffic safety signs throughout the county.
So this is physical signs? Is this stoplights? Is it everything? Or is it just signs for...
We only have one stoplight in the entire county. Traffic signs.
All traffic?
All road signs on county roads.
And this is... There's an ongoing fee with this as well?
Software maintenance.
Okay, $4,000 a year for that. Okay, and this is just to know where the signs are? I'm just kind of at...
Probably it's the quantity and location.
Right.
Just ensuring that our signs are all up to current compliance. I mean, we have, I think,
11,086
road miles.
Right.
On county roads.
11,000 signs.
11,000 signs, and this is just making...
How is this? What are you doing now?
Not inventorying them.
I'm curious.
I mean, this is bringing us into, like, so that we actually have it on software and it's not in someone's head.
On a spreadsheet.
You say 11,000, I say approximately 11,000, maybe, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Where's the only stop sign?
Stoplight
is over by Glasgow Turnpike.
That's the only county road with a stoplight.
Yeah.
Stoplight.
Yeah.
So okay. When we turn that one to LED, it's going to really up our... that's one of the environmental, like, to turn all of your stoplights to LED, but we only have one, so that's like a box that we can check pretty quickly.
We're on the 3M signs.
So my understanding is that once you have a sign inventory, you can look at reducing the amount of signage, which sometimes improves the ability of motorists to use the signage. You can see if there's a place where you need signage that you don't have it. And so to go forward into the modern age, it's kind of, you've got to do it at some point, and we've never done it.
We've actually, brought on a person
it'll be GIS.
You're having one of those days.
Good stuff.
I am. You can
move where a sign is and do a simulation of whether that improves traffic flow kind of thing, which I think we would have a hard time doing right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Mark, do we know how much we spend on signage? I don't know if this question was asked or started. How much we spend on signage in a year?
I can get that. I mean, I know, so we have both a sign shop, and we go out to bid in purchasing for a 2 or 3 year contract every couple of years on sign making. So some of the main signs we can make in-house, and that's just doing materials and then like one sign maker. But we do have a contract, so I can get you those numbers.
We're on resolution 294 for those that just came in. That's okay.
One of the things that struck me is, it seems like a lot of money to, it may not be a lot of money for the service, but it seems a lot of money for inventorying signs and creating a GIS inventory of signs. And then there's annual maintenance fees on the software. So, we do this, and then moving forward, we start at whatever, roughly $4,500 a year moving forward, and as we know, that always increases just to have a GIS inventory on our signs. And while it seems a good, it's like, okay, we have an inventory on our signs, I'm not 100% sold, but I read the presentation. My first thought was, does 3M make the signs? Because I know they make the reflective things. So.
No, they don't.
I had spoken with DPW, about the signs, because, first I'm like, wow, that does seem like it's a little bit of a cost. Right now they're working with index cards. which is not really the most optimal.
Did you say index cards?
Index cards.
Mm-hmm. We're using the three decimal system.
That's definitely not optimal, but
no.
That also seems not. There's a middle ground between GISing all signs at $175,000 and index carding.
But I mean, that does help. I mean, then they actually have. I mean, they can zero in. They can take a look at the sign. It seemed better for their, as far, I felt more comfortable after speaking with them.
Yeah,
this is part of their inventory.
That's
yeah.
a good point. Is this part of like an overall plan for DPW on things they're looking at? It would be,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if they presented it to you guys about their overall plan, where they're headed, what they're trying to update.
Well, Tom Jackson wasn't at this meeting, so we didn't have quite as in-depth a discussion as we might otherwise have. That is my understanding of what this allows you to do. And increasingly, state and federal funding might be dependent upon having this kind of information included in grant applications and stuff.
Yeah.
So the MPO stuff that the county is engaged in, I think this allows us basically to come into that modern world. And it's a big cost up front, but I did dig in and look at what it is, thinking, well, maybe we could just do that with a database and some GIS work. And no, I mean, they're getting 16 different coordinates on each sign, and those are apparently meaningful to transportation and planners.
Those signs are expensive.
I will say that as far as your question about an overall plan, I mean, Joe Whitaker was fantastic. He had a lot of stuff in his head, and ever since Brendan Masterson took over, we're going in a whole new direction with technology. This, for instance, we're doing a little bit more proactive work on bridges and roads. We hired, what I was about to say on the signs, and I was mistaken, it's our roads. Like, we have someone from Cornell Cooperative, an intern that we've brought in to look at the grading of all of our roads. So we're going to, by the end of the summer, we're going to have one person's interpretation on, after they've been trained on doing this, on how conditions of the roads.
Mm-hmm.
So this is all going along kind of a similar program.
Mm-hmm.
Happy to have Tom and Brendan talk to the Public Works Committee about an overall
plan and direction of where they're going.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. All right. On Resolution 294, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. Resolution 295, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county, Securus Technologies, Inc., Ulster County Sheriff. Move.
I move it.
Second.
Second.
Chair.
I'm going to ask if the committee can just postpone this until next week. I'm waiting to hear back from the sheriff. I've got the RFP, the contract that you see has a cost proposal per minute per call, but what I'm trying to get clarification on is that in the RFP proposal, in the narrative, they speak about per day rates on the tablets to the inmates. They speak about media charges, and I don't have clarity. And Jay and I just looked at the fee proposals, and the fee proposal doesn't break out all those costs, so over the next couple of days, we'll try to get clarity from the sheriff's office just to provide that to the
legislator Petit.
I'd also like to say, since we're opening this up, that I'm concerned about using the jail as a revenue source. I mean, I don't think that's a good idea. I mean, obviously, we want it to break even. That would be ideal with any government department, even though governments don't run like that. But I think using it as a revenue source, and I mean, they're already incarcerated. To make it more difficult for them to have access mm-hmm. to anything, it's just going to make a worse person when they come out.
Mm-hmm.
And we should look at other revenue sources. Legislator Nolan had actually suggested, you know, if we need more mental health, you know, as we look at the opioid issue, perhaps having, I don't want to misspeak, but you said perhaps the other used for that, not to incarcerate people, but that in itself
for treatment,
could become
right.
a different function, mm-hmm. yeah, which I thought was a great idea. We should really
Chairwoman Bartels?
You know, the other, and yeah, I totally agree with Legislator Petit, and the other thing that came up when I started to research, so as I spoke to people on the law enforcement committee about the law enforcement discussion, one of the things that was raised about this company's proposal as opposed to our previous company is that it was actually cheaper for the inmates than the previous company. But if you look at what's proposed to be the guaranteed income revenue share to the county, that revenue share is higher than last year's income, and we know we have less inmates. So there's a discrepancy there. Also, when you research this company is now the largest provider of this kind of service to jails and prisons in the country. And as a result of their contracts with certain communities, there are multiple communities, some states across the country that are moving to have free calls for inmates. Kind of on Legislator Petit's point, I know I've spoken at this at length, but I just want to come back next week with the full information. I mean, a concern I have is this is presented as a great thing. So potentially every inmate or certain inmates get a tablet. There are free tablets that are provided with educational materials and access to legal research, etc. But these tablets, if you think about it in terms of a justice issue, you know, they're provided to inmates, and if there is a per day charge, which I believe there is based on reading the proposal, not the fee aspect of the proposal that was provided, but if there is a per day fee, and if there is a per media fee or per minute fee, people are being treated differently in our jails based on whether or not they can afford this individual media. And that's something we have to think about, but that's going to be up to each legislator. I just want to be able to come back with the full financial picture of what we're going to be charging our inmates, because what's included in this does not seem to be fully reflective of what's included in the full the 154 page proposal. And so Jay's already called the sheriff, and we're waiting to get clarification on it, and we'll definitely have it before next week.
Okay, so
to clarify, what we do have says that there will be no cost for the tablet. So we're distinguishing that from whether there's a basic hookup fee, basically, in addition to the 14 cents a minute charge for telephone.
I'm saying that I don't know, but I know that the 100, which I just looked at minutes ago, the 154 page proposal to Ulster County, which said to Ulster County, details a $5 per day tablet charge to the inmate. That's not in the fee proposal. It's in the proposal. They have the separate fee proposal, and then they have their 154 page proposal. So that's what I'm saying. There are discrepancies that I want to get clarity on. It may be by, you know, in the next couple of days, we'll find out that we're only getting six of those free tablets, and you only get charged for the media you use. I don't know. But the proposal that they have details of per day charge to the inmate on the tablet.
Okay.
It also details the separation between the three
clearly,
tablets.
Clearly we need to get clarification on that. Mark?
I would just, at one point, I think it's fine to postpone it until the sheriff can be here.
Yeah.
You have to be careful on comparing proposals to contracts. It's the contract, because
mm-hmm.
there's times that when we do an RFP, a proposal will come in, we'll get five proposals, we'll negotiate with one of the proposers, and it could be different. What we're getting, which goes into the contract, could be completely different than what is in the proposal. So
definitely.
Okay, so is there a second on the postponement?
A second.
Okay. All in favor? So move. Resolution 296, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an intermunicipal agreement for a preschool special education and related services program with the Ontario Central School District Department of Social Services. Second?
Second.
And I just have one quick question. Do we do this with other...
No,
is this the first time we're doing something like this?
Not with Ontario. They're one that does their own service.
Uh-huh.
We're paying for that. They are one of... They have an approved program.
I see.
Through the state.
Okay.
Not many other schools.
Okay. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 297, authorizing a grant application to the Federal Transit Administration to apply, accept, and administer 5307 funds transferred from the Rural Transportation Assistance Program, Section 5311B3, for bus replacements, and authorizing the Ulster County Executive to execute any required applications or agreements to accept funding. Ulster County Area Transit, UCAT.
Could you repeat that?
Excuse me.
I'll move it.
Second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Yep.
Opposed?
No, it's not too good.
Resolution 299, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a grant application with required assurances for the New York Connect program with the New York State Office for the Aging, Office for the Aging.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution number 300, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a grant application with required assurances for the unmet need grant from the New York State Office for the Aging.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
All in favor? Opposed? Resolution 301, creating one full-time position and amending the 2019 Ulster County Budget Office for the Aging. Second?
This is a CSEA position?
Yes.
Do we usually create new positions in the middle? I mean, we have
this
vacant
is based
positions.
On the
money that's
the last
grant.
Right. Based on the grant that was the prior resolution.
I thought we were submitting grants. Are we already getting reimbursed, or are we anticipating getting them and then?
So with this grant, with the unmet needs and the prior one, which was New York Connects, we are told by New York State Office for the Aging what funds are available that we will get, shall we apply for the grant. So we're told, you know, this is a large portion of the revenue coming in for Office for the Aging.
Is there a caveat? I don't recall if there's a caveat in there that says if grants aren't received, that this position will not go through.
We track these positions now, but this grant is in the budget for the next 5 years, in the state budget.
But we will track it in a separate division that says if that grant goes away, this position goes away.
Okay.
But in theory, it's at least 5 years.
The state puts it in their five-year plan, in theory.
Yeah.
I mean...
It could go away next year.
But we don't have a choice. If that money goes away, the position is automatically eliminated?
No.
We can bring it to the legislature to continue it.
Yeah, I mean, what's happened before with things that are sunset, I mean, this has been an ongoing discussion about how we identify things that are sunset. And what's happened before, Joe, is that if, for example... the position where the funding were eliminated, but the executive budget included maintenance of that position for the next year. If the legislature approved the budget, we effectively override the sunset. But without it being highlighted, we might not know that position had been sunsetted. So that's why we've discussed how do we highlight what is sunset for ourselves.
Can we legally add into a resolution like this that it's automatic?
I think the issue is that even if it's automatic, when we approve something in the budget, we override the automatic nature of it. Yeah.
But it would be different than just an approval.
What it may require is a resolution stating that if a particular position has been sunsetted, that it be identified. I mean, I think we have to put a resolution in that says a policy that says you have to identify.
Saying, part of the resolution is put a whereas that if we don't get the funding, this position will not
be. Not a whereas, it's a result.
Yeah, but
that's fine, but that's what he means.
Yeah.
I mean, Urgent was a sunsetted program, and the year that the money ran out, it was put into the budget, you know, and when the executive budget passed, was the sunset no longer applied. But
right.
we didn't, you know, those legislators who were there at that time didn't say, oh, but this is sunsetted.
Yeah.
We just passed the budget.
Yeah.
And
Legislator Petit, and then.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to move that forward then and make a motion to put that whereas in. And
resolved.
No,
it
Do we have to put both in?
Yeah,
no.
For whereas.
Okay. So
you can put any whereas in you want. The resolved
okay,
is the important part.
Then?
Whereas,
yeah.
Whereas it's sunny out.
Legislator Malone.
I'd like to put that up as well. I'd second it. If we want to go over the wording real quick, it probably wouldn't take much. It's just a different conversation that you have at budget time where there is no position. The conversation is, do we want to resubmit this position rather than just finding room for it and never talking about it?
Yeah.
Madam Chair.
Yeah.
Just a concern, like for this position, it is a state-funded position. You got to remember the state fiscal year isn't January to December like ours is. So, from the budget
yep.
perspective, I'm just bringing the budget perspective in there.
Yeah.
Do I budget to the end of March for these positions? Do I budget for the whole year? Again, we normally don't find out this funding until the budget's passed by the state.
I think the position
year. Right? We budget on a yearly
basis.
Well,
I'm bringing the concern in terms of if you're going to set some kind of policy to think of that.
So we should set it according to when the money would come in, which would be when they set their budget.
Yeah, but that becomes a budget
April to
yeah,
March.
April.
I had
the last round.
So I appreciate.
Sorry, she was.
A lot of these positions are service positions, and there might be multiple avenues for funding them, and the executive is basically choosing the best one and putting that in front of us. So I would prefer a mechanism. Could I at least say what I'm proposing before it's attacked around the table? Thank you.
No, I understand. Yeah.
So
opinions too. I'm sorry.
Your opinions going across the table in front of me. Make it
okay. Can we just keep it on topic, please?
That's what I'm asking. Thank you. My request of the legislators on this committee who are proposing this change would be to consider a different mechanism in which there would be a flag saying that a funding source has not been renewed, and that would come to us if there's no alternative source, or maybe even if there is an alternative source, so that we know that switch is happening, rather than having it sunset in terms of funding, in terms of the position when there might be alternative funding available.
Okay, Legislator Rodriguez.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think what Bert, and again, please feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, part of it becomes, you know, conceptually, it's rather difficult to go and, quote-unquote, only plan on budgeting for, say, you know,
three months,
4 months, you know, depending upon, because you've got three different fiscal years going on between the state, the feds, and, of course, you know, what we go through, and I'm assuming there may be some other funding streams that actually have different fiscal years. So, I mean, what may be the more appropriate result is that it may be more matter of that we will, that the position has to be evaluated come budget time if the funding is not, if the funding ends from the, whoever was basically providing those funds, right? So meaning, so if it's from the state, if let's say go and say the state decides to go and say end a program, then at that point you're talking about then July 1, you know, is basically when they're no longer sort of paying for it. Okay, well, fine. At that point, then we're going to continue to provide that service during the course of a year, but that we want to make
come
sure
July
that come
yeah.
come December 31st. So meaning when we're going through our budget process, at that point we then have to be aware that, oh, by the way, this position was defunded back in July by the state, and we may not want to continue funding it, because as Tracy, as the chair, you know, mentioned earlier, there have been times when we've sort of just gone and just, you know, continued funding of something, not even realizing that the funding stream itself didn't.
So, just so I understand, so are you suggesting a resolve
in
this?
I'm suggesting, I mean, obviously I don't want to go and have competing amendments going on here. I'm just suggesting to the original sponsors of the amendment, what you're actually really looking for is to ensure that going forward in any sort of subsequent, you know, financial year, that we are not then funding positions that no longer have the associated grant funding. Because in order to actually go and say budget something in UCAT, well, you've got two different fiscal years going on there between FTA and the state.
Okay. Joe?
Yeah. We would not be creating this position if we did not have this grant. So on the other side of that, ultimately, I don't think we should have this position if we don't have the grant. Mm-hmm. How do we go about? I also would just like to say that there's, if you're honest about how a conversation starts, sometimes it's much more difficult to discontinue something in Office for the Aging or DSS, or to even ask a question about it, because it's such a great position that does mm-hmm. so much good mm-hmm. that you're worried about, you almost get demonized if you even ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if we start from the point of we don't have the money, we don't have this position, which is more or less what I want out of the resolve, then it's a little easier to have that conversation about can we afford this and do we want to continue this. So I would rather start from a point of when this money ends, this position ends, because we're starting from a point of the only reason we're creating this position is because we're being given this money.
Legislator Tarantine.
I know that. No, it's very different. And that's why. No, no,
okay,
but I was sort of
right.
taking the point that Bert had made and bringing that point home. That's all.
Okay, go ahead.
Basically, I mean, we have discussed this about 3 years ago. We were supposed to set a policy back then regarding all these funded positions that when they sunset,
well,
we not received. I think we did through the county executive's office, correct?
We did it ourselves for years.
We've had a sunset clause resolved in these resolutions before.
Yeah, like years ago, Rich. I mean,
I'd like to get that language. It's one of these things we use
the language.
We omitted it from this kind of. But it should have been in there.
Has this happened in
okay,
the last
so
sunset? I don't recall any sunset conversations.
Chair Bartelli.
Yeah, I mean, Rich is right. We've had this conversation. I think the bigger point is that the sunset clause practically is meaningless, because what happens is without the flag that alerts the legislature to the fact that it has been sunsetted and requires that specific conversation, it's exactly what Legislator Maloney said. It's budget time, it's a great position, it's budget time, it's a great proposal, and it's in the budget, and then when we vote on it,
we're voting.
That sunset's gone. We have overridden the sunset, so we've done it ourselves. We need to create a policy that does what Legislator Maloney said, that somehow, that doesn't just say, you know, whereas when this happened, there, when the money runs out, the position and the program is sunset. We need to create a policy that flags it for us so that come budget time or in advance of budget time, we're told internally, this program no longer has funding. You're now going to be funding it from county dollars or from elsewhere. And then we can make a determination, do we still want to move forward? Because we definitely, without full knowledge, we have overridden, I would guess, hundreds of sunsets. I mean, it just putting the language in there is like, okay, great, it's sunsetted when the money runs out. And when it's in the budget cycle, there's no more sunset. So
Joe?
If we just flag it, though, even if the flag works, the conversation, we're starting from a point of, do you want to fire this person? If we do it the way Laura and I are talking about, the conversation is, do you want to rehire or hire? It's a much easier...
So explain to me what you're exactly, you and Laura are saying.
It ends. And if you want to... They essentially do the same thing, but the starting point is much different.
How are you saying to functionally do that?
Well, that's what I would need...
I think what is being said is that in the past there has been language in the resolution that sunsets the job if the funding goes away, but because it is never flagged when we're doing the annual budget, and the position is built into the budget. But without the funding, any understanding that you're approving a headcount
that is no longer...
This is a problem
in every governmental body.
But
yeah.
Right, so the point is there a better way of getting at it?
It said that the position will be removed if the budget essentially starts from zero every year. It doesn't, but anything that could put in the budget. So if it's removed, but the executive puts it in the executive budget, and we approve the executive budget...
Well, Bert's saying we'd be finding out mid-year. And I'm saying,
that may be the case, but it's never flagged.
Whenever we find out when that money, we automatically, according to our resolution, that position is discontinued at that point. The last day we're going to get that money from the state or the federal government?
Exactly.
The
position
is gone.
If it shows up in the budget for that year, and it's not identified as such, you're approving it, and you're basically, you know, overriding your own resolution.
Yeah.
That's basically what's being said.
And you can't do it for the next body. So listen, like Joe, for example,
Mark.
If you put in that what you're talking about this year, and then
you're not listening.
The next budget cycle has this in it, but the funding's run out, but the next budget cycle has this in it for the next body, it's back with, even though there was a sunset, even though the position got deleted. You know, it doesn't. It's just, it's an argument of semantics. I think the most important thing is that
you guys would be aware, correct?
Funded.
When the money dries up,
yes.
You guys would then have to inform that person and us, whatever the process would be, they don't have a job anymore.
If I could give an example. With Harold Herring, with the Public Defender's Office, we have a separate division which identified a revenue source and has positions attached to it. So if that revenue source goes away, there is no funding of that division. We could look at something like that going forward, but back to the chair's point, just putting a sunset clause in this resolution doesn't necessarily do that. But that being said, if this could get postponed 1 week, then we could propose language that's been in the previous so that it's standard.
Do we have a list of all positions in the county that get some level of state and federal funding? Do we do a report on that?
We should.
We have positions that we have, like this one specifically, 100%, that we are tracking. I mean,
there are some that are offset,
like 40%,
some positions.
No, and some aren't. Some money that comes in isn't directly,
but
it ends up being in a pool that people are going
to get. Okay, so for the purposes of time, can I get a motion on postponement till we get some language?
Yeah. And can you guys show me what that list looks
on
like?
On the postponement, may I have
I'll move it.
Second?
Yeah. Just a list of 100% funded by
second.
State or federal.
Okay, sorry, yeah. Laura. Okay, all in favor of postponement?
Aye. Can I maybe suggest that we ask Natalie to work with the budget office and you to come up with some kind of policy that creates these flags and that keeps a running, running list so that we know as things are expiring.
Can we work on that?
Because it's something we've been talking about for years. It would be the change. The thing that we
okay. All right. So, all in favor of the postponement?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. So moved.
The only one who voted.
Nobody opposed it. So I'm assuming.
No. I now have the problem.
Resolution 302. Can we get back on track, please? Resolution 302, approving the work order with the Dormitory Authority of the State of New York for design and construction phase services for phase 2 of campus roof project for the Hardenberg Hall related to the campus roofs project number 489, campus roofs, and amending the 2019 Ulster County Capital Fund, SUNY Ulster. Second?
Second.
Could you tell us what the original amount was on this and why the amendment here?
This is not, let me see. So this is amending the capital fund, but... Mm-hmm.
To accept revenue?
What's that?
Is it to accept revenue?
No, this is approving the work order for DASNY and amending the capital fund because typically they go with construction and design in these capital funds as they go along. This
That's
isn't
the
changing the five-year plan. This is just adding money into the capital fund. But I will say that one of the questions in the Public Works Committee was whether... They did a review for solar, and I was told by Jamie last night that they are that DASNY will do review to see if solar can go, and they're not going to do it with this roof project, but if it's they're not going to add a solar
component
onto this roof project, but if it can be
if it fits up there and it's structurally sound, then they will do a solar project in the future on this one. But this is in the 5-year plan, it's just not in the...
But with your question in terms of this specific capital project, it was for roof replacements. So the first time you saw this was for one roof at a different building.
Got it.
So they keep coming to you for
the
each
new
building
roof
they're doing.
As they're, as they're going through the design phase.
Yeah,
okay,
I think the first one
you.
Was the DeWitt Library,
Got
and then
it.
They went and came
okay.
back with another art for a couple buildings.
Okay.
So,
Manna?
Yeah, it was a double question in Public Works. One was about solar, the other was about insulation. And when I was asking about solar, it was... If you're doing a roof renovation, that's the time to ensure that it can support solar in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think my question was a little bit different than the answer. And I also did ask about insulation.
Sure. There's no representative from the college here, so this is submitted by the college. If you want to postpone it, I can ask Jamie to come here, Dr. Roberts, next session.
That did not come out in Public Works?
What Jamie had said previously, she wasn't there at the last meeting, I think, but on the previous one, which was a similar question, was really what Deputy Ryder said, which is that their intention is to move to solar and that the current roofing can't sustain it because it's, you know, too old. I think that there has not been as clear an answer as you have been asking for, that this design incorporates like the best thinking about how to advance solar, but her belief and what was presented was that by putting a new solid roof, they would be able to go the next phase. So it may not be as definitive. I don't think they asked an architect or an engineer to look at it, but their belief is that this is a step preliminary to putting solar. And I guess they'll look, after they have this, at doing that. And you're right, it would have been better to look before, but I guess that would have required that happening at the time that they were budgeting the design for this.
But DASNY is going to...
It didn't.
But DASNY's going to do an analysis on whether it's structurally sound or not to do the solar. So I understand that doesn't quite get to your question, but DASNY is the design firm, and they are going to do the structural analysis.
I mean, to move further with this, for Public Works, perhaps we want to prepare a policy that when they're replacing roofs, they do them in a structurally sound enough way so that solar can be put on it.
Or at least
either at the time or in the future.
Give us two proposals. One, what?
That's right.
I mean, and then the other, what it would cost for it to be solar ready.
We can put that
in solar ready. Yeah.
But it is good. They have a basic feel that this will probably be better. So that's
government. A basic feel that this will probably be better.
It is
not a definitive answer. And
do we
want
to post
a definitive climate crisis?
Do we want to postpone till we get a definitive answer?
It doesn't. Sound like we'll be able to do that till after DASNY does the
structural analysis.
Then it will be too late.
It was clearly Jamie's sense that this building might be a good site for solar if it had a stable, steady roof. So what I think, so that answer to that question is yes, they anticipate being able to put solar on there. If it's, is this roof being maximized for solar potential? That, I think, would have been a different thing. It would have been a different budget, both in design and probably in construction, and they decided not to do that.
I know Solar City wouldn't touch these roofs in the past because they were too old. Now, that doesn't mean they were structurally unsound. It means that they are not going to put a roof system on a roof that's 25 years.
Yeah.
Well, that's...
You have to take it off to fix the roof,
right,
which is what is happening now.
Because you have to replace the roof.
Yeah. Exactly. So they've been kind of assuming, but it seems a reasonable assumption.
Yes.
I mean, angles matter. I mean, there's things that they might do now that would cost, while they're doing the roof, I'm just throwing a number, $50,000. And it would be ready to go in a way that'll cost us $250,000 to start fabricating and changing angles later, which is what I always go back to. It gets a little frustrating when it's, you know, when it's not your money. It's like, well, they got a good field ahead, and okay, we can always just go and spend more money.
Legislator Green.
I am just keenly remembering the family court, and that would have been an opportunity, and it would have cost $8,000 more to do that evaluation, and people didn't think that that was a good investment. And, you know, if not us, who? And if not,
when?
You know, I may have mangled that quote, but I think you get my point. We really, we have to have definitive answers, and we have to build them in, and it sounds like this is a policy that's going to have to come out of Public Works. I think that maybe we can put our heads together on that. The other question was about insulation, and I just want to know if you were able to get an answer on that.
I don't recall the question on insulation.
When you're putting on a new roof, that's an opportunity to super insulate the roof, which is the area of greatest heat loss.
Right. That was a question out of Public Works. I don't recall that.
I think it's in the minutes.
So maybe we could ask whether
I'll ask James. All right,
is included in the flex tech study?
It's not.
Yeah.
So that's part of where this problem is arising.
Chairwoman Bartels.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's time for a firm policy, not an either or policy. I mean, we, Manna, you say, you know, you remember the courthouse. I can reflect on the jail, the transit facility, the BRC. I mean, we've had this conversation over and over and over and over again, and we're always having the conversation late, and if we have a policy in place that says that this must be done, then it'll be just built in to the discussion. And we do know, we know we're in a time and a place where solar has gotten less expensive. We are in a climate crisis. There's no reason not to be doing this, but we can't have the conversation when we're accepting the bid and moving on the project. So I think that we should, through Public Works and or Environment collectively, put together a policy that has to do with building upgrades and look at our policy for new construction, which, you know, we have a LEED Silver policy, but we can, that's optional on upgrades. But we should be talking about all of this, and we should put something in place that's non-negotiable, that's going to make it a part of the conversation at the earliest point, so by the time things come to us, it will have been incorporated. We won't need to ask the question, because we do ask the question every time.
Okay, on the resolution 302.
I thought we were on postponement, you mean?
I'm asking. Do we want to postpone it?
I thought there was a motion already made.
Well, there was a request, but nobody made a motion to postpone.
I move to postpone resolution. What is it, 302?
302, okay.
And I have to we're postponing for?
To have Jamie come and answer the question about
insulation. Well, you have the minimum insulation, whatever it is, law space, the animal,
or are you ready to move on a policy that would start the process before it gets to the stage of build out?
Well, they don't have a policy yet.
I mean, we have to put a policy together. That's what
I understand that, but we're going to do this project regardless of whether there's a policy in place right now.
Yeah.
So meaning,
exactly.
At least if we postpone this, at least Manna can at least get that part answered. And going forward, there needs to be a discussion quickly in Public Works and Environment. That's all.
Okay, so we have on the postponement, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Resolution 304, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to enter into a lease agreement with the Ulster County Community College for the public safety training facility located at 250 Ulster Landing Road in the town of Ulster, Department of Public Works, Buildings and Grounds.
Move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Resolution 305, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a lease with the Ulster Savings Bank for space to be used by the Board of Elections, Department of Public Works, Building and Grounds. Move. Second.
That's my question.
What is this now? Is this what they're in now?
Yeah.
Oh, we're just renewing.
Legislator.
So, I didn't see in the resolution, what is this an increase in rent?
Yes.
What are we paying now?
By about $5 a square foot.
So what are we paying now?
It's $36,000 approximately.
Wow. And it's going up to $14 a square foot?
Yeah.
Yep.
For night. Wow.
So that's the building is for sale, and the Ulster Savings Bank's only willing to give us a 1 year, so we likely will have to move anyway, but this actually just brings us up to the same level where our public defender space is being leased at, which is more recent leases than 5 years ago when the current Board of Elections lease was negotiated.
And what are we paying for
it? It was $9 and it's going up to $14.
Wow.
Don't we have a bunch of extra space at the jail? Let's just move them over to the jail.
The old jail.
What is the
Chairwoman Bartels, do you have a question?
Wait,
one, please, one at a time.
Do we know what the asking price is on the building? Just out of curiosity.
I don't. But
it's a bigger
one.
We should be thinking about where. I mean, the issue, if it's for sale and we're going to have to move, we need to be thinking about where this particular Board of Elections is it's a great location for public access on a main street. So we need to think about where. Is there
it's
any
not
going to
be in the realm of what we. I mean, we could ask, but I think they may have an offer on it already. Mm-hmm. But I mean, uptown.
But what is our plan beyond a year?
We're coming up with a plan now. We just found out about this month. So, we have a year to come up with a sale.
Did we have a lease already? It just expired? Is that correct?
Yeah,
okay.
Yes,
all right.
We're renewing our lease.
Legislator Rodriguez?
No, I mean, you know, that, and that's fine. You know, through the
one
chair.
One conversation, please.
Through
Thank
the chair
you.
To the deputy county executive. I mean, you know, it's just merely a matter of, I mean, us not knowing that this increase is coming is probably different than us not knowing that the building's for sale. Like, I get it, you know, sometimes buildings go for sale. But, you know, this is obviously not, I mean, we have no choice. We're going to keep Board of Elections there. You know, we're all voting for it. That's not the question. I mean, the question really basically becomes, you know, going forward, are we looking at maybe buying a building in the same vicinity? You know, like, for example, I think the space where the public defender, you know, moved into wasn't that.
This is the building. So at some point we're going to be moving the public defender as well.
Okay.
This is it's the same building.
Yeah, same building. Okay.
Okay. All right. All in favor?
I know. I'm not.
Nobody's in favor of this.
I.
Thank you.
Sorry, I was just trying to get the deputy executive. Yeah, I know it's
opposed.
Got it.
Resolution 306, authorizing additional funding for capital project number 528. Veterans Cemetery to meet the environmental and permitting requirements and seeking lead agency status under the New York State.
Second. Trying to save your breath.
Thank you.
I'm like, I know you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Resolution 308, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an intermunicipal agreement for the sharing of information relating to short-term rental properties with the town of Gardner.
I will begrudgingly second it, but it's Gardner.
All in favor?
Aye.
Resolution 309, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an intermunicipal agreement for the sharing of information relating to short-term rental properties with the Town of Marbletown, Department of Finance.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 310, authorizing the conveyance of county-owned property to the original owner, Department of Finance.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 311, authorizing the Commissioner of Finance to accept bids for parcels of county-owned real property for private sale and authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to convey such parcels, Department of Finance.
Move.
Move. Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 313, establishing a policy ensuring maximization of funds received by Ulster County pursuant to the New York State Homes and Community Renewal Community Development Block Grant Program.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Any questions?
That's going to be through RepCo.
Well, not for the policy, but yes, currently we use RepCo to administer.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Now we'll go back to the first two resolutions. Resolution 15, setting a public hearing on proposal of law number 1 of 2019, a local law amending the code of the County of Ulster in relation to local law number 5 of 1991, a local law adopting a hotel and motel. I don't know. He had a question. Maybe Bert can take it. A room occupancy tax to clarify the tax law's application of short-term and vacation rentals to be held on Tuesday, August 13, 2019 at 6 p.m.
I'll move it.
Second?
Mm-hmm. Second.
Okay.
It is just a public hearing. I mean, I would love to let the public weigh in. Right?
Legislator Geraghty, you had a question before.
I just want to hear what Bert has to say regarding that. I know you've been working on it for...
It's been a year since we've had the software that allows us to kind of get the short-term rentals that are out there. My apartment has 945 of those registered out of 1280.
Registered doesn't mean paying.
I will say they've registered, but they're not going to pay unless they have someone go there.
And then they're going to send us a check in the mail quarterly.
Yes.
So we're going to be processing, hopefully, thousands of small checks.
I do that with tax payments.
Yeah. So let's add to it. And then there's really no way. It's kind of I've read the letter we sent out. It's vaguely threatening. It's almost a phishing type thing. It sounds almost scammish, to be honest with you. That's how it's been described to me by people that have Airbnbs. A lot of people that have Airbnbs that I've asked either didn't understand it or had no idea what I was talking about, so they hadn't gotten it. We're not even sure that list encapsulates all of them, because in our contract, I'll remind everyone, with the Bear Cloud, they get more money every year by finding more, correct? So it might even benefit them to not give us an entire list to begin with. This really does get 80% electronically delivered payments quarterly. It's so much easier to vet. I think you can rely upon Airbnb, which does this with like 15 different countries, 49 states, the majority of counties in most states, the majority of the counties in our state. I have a map printed out of the counties that have opted in. We're surrounded by them. There's not one county, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, that we are surrounded by that has a bed tax that has not entered into this agreement. It just, for environmental reasons, for staffing reasons, for the reason of we're definitely going to be collecting more money than the way we're trying to do it here, it makes a lot of sense to enter this agreement.
Legislator Rodriguez.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, I'm going to probably ask that we had a series of questions a few months ago, I think, when we actually had both this was actually in front of, I believe, the Laws and Rules Committee, I believe, at one point. There were a bunch of questions at that point that had come up. There were questions, I think, that I know I had asked here at this committee. So, Joe, are you actually okay? I mean, it's not going to matter whether we're voting on this now or whether we're voting on this next week. Are you okay actually holding off until next week? So that way we at least don't say, because I'm just saying, this has been floating around for a while. It always kind of feels like we have a series of different questions, and then they may or may not have actually gotten answered, and so I just want to make sure that we actually just have
that. Well, this was held up for years.
Yeah. No, I know. No, I'm saying, but just that
by a question that's been answered, that we can do it.
No, well,
Legislator
no,
Petit.
I'd like to say that, right now we're paying for a company to go out and find some, bad players as far as registering and filing the correct reports. I don't know how many folks have actually responded to letters. I mean, they can choose to ignore it, which would mean we'd then have to go into litigation. I don't know if we're requiring that they submit their, you know, Schedule C's or whatever as far as verifying the money that they're bringing in. But if it goes directly through, say, Airbnb, I mean, there's no way to finagle those numbers. There's no argument unless they choose not to use Airbnb.
You don't know who's paying you, though. I wouldn't know who's paying me.
But you're getting the money, though.
You,
and you're not spending.
You don't know who's paying us now.
I do know.
No, you don't.
I absolutely do know.
Please tell me, out of those 900
people,
how
do you know? With a return, there's a check. With a return, there's a check. I know.
And I own an Airbnb, and I sign up on that site of yours, and then I just don't send the check. Do you know I don't send the check? Absolutely not.
No, you don't.
Chairwoman Bartel. Okay, can we not argue? Wait.
It's my job.
But if I have somebody stay in my Airbnb and I don't send you the check, how do you know that?
How would I know if they don't do it through Airbnb?
Airbnb's collecting it automatically.
Not if they don't have Airbnb.
Exactly. That's another 15%. So you can send VRBO letters.
I wouldn't have
Legislative Bartels.
What are you...
I mean, I think it's... I think the issue of not knowing whether Airbnb is being on the up and up in terms of giving... You know, remitting what they're supposed to be remitting is kind of a stretch because I mean that goes for any hotel, anything. Like we don't know if any hotel is submitting for every person who actually stays there. If they're cutting corners, I mean this is a business that you know has an international reputation to uphold. So you know our neighbors are and around the world people have cut into these agreements and it does facilitate. Facilitate easier flow of finances, no question. It does. I don't think it necessarily means that we get rid of this bear cloud because this is important information that we have. It's capturing the rest.
I wouldn't maintain it.
What?
I wouldn't maintain it. It's $25,000, I'd say.
Okay. Well, then you're kind of making an argument for doing the.
But why would I do the work though?
If I'm getting a check.
There's no reason for me to do the work.
But I haven't heard you say that before.
I have said it before.
Okay, can I finish my...
Sure.
You're making a very clear argument to me to just do the agreement because, for me, the reason to maintain Bear Cloud, which you are now throwing out the window entirely, is that Bear Cloud, if that's what it's called, I know I always mess up.
Their company did change the name. It was Bear Cloud.
Okay, but they also capture the other platforms that aren't Airbnb. So
correct.
So that's a benefit.
But both.
And they capture information that's of value to our community.
We just approved these agreements. Yeah.
So
which I asked legally because I don't know the agreements with Airbnb. Are you allowed to get in those agreements with the town?
We know that our neighboring communities, many of them have this type of agreement and our Airbnb. I'm not prepared to move on to Airbnb today, but I feel that this is most definitely where we're going. I think that what we need to work out are there's some little details in the contractual information that I want to make sure that we're clear on, and then there's this issue we're being discussed about what the percentage is or isn't based on what our neighboring communities are. So I don't know if that conversation if we've moved anywhere on that conversation. I don't know that we're going to solve it in a week, but I would like to get to the point where we do sign this agreement with Airbnb if that's what we're going to... To me, it makes no sense to be sending out all these letters, but what we found out very recently through a previous deputy executive's actions is that we are sending letters to anyone who's on the platform indiscriminate of whether or not they're actually ever rented out a room. So I could create an Airbnb account and then just put occupied, not available, and I'm not putting it up yet. I've just created the account. I get the letter saying we know blah, 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 and you have to submit and you owe this and you owe money. But we don't know if you owe money.
But I will say the one thing I have received is people saying I've taken it off, so I remove them from my list.
Okay, but I'm saying that it seems like an incredible amount of work as opposed to just receiving a check. And your reaction that you just would step...
But the reason I say that is I'm not sure legally, am I allowed to provide the towns that information? Because that's why I have that software as well. Under the agreement with Airbnb, are we allowed to get in another contract to provide information?
I don't know, and I'm not the lawyer in the room.
So
at least one of our neighboring counties, and I forget which one because I looked at it, and I want to say Dutchess, but I could be wrong. Also, is
has them register.
Has
yes.
that registry and is independently capturing the non-Airbnb platform and is allowing Airbnb.
And the way
again, I just asked the question.
Yeah.
That's all.
So we have to get answers, but that's what we.
And what happens if I have both platforms, which I have many of?
What do you mean?
They have Airbnb and other platforms.
Eventually, the other platforms are going to do it too.
Do I send them a letter to register? And they say no, because you're getting my money. How do I know?
The same way you know now. The same way.
In the letter you send to the VRBO, rent it out on VRBO, you send it to us. It's a less confusing letter than you're sending now, trust me.
Yeah.
All
right,
sure.
Joe?
For 5 years, this conversation's been going on, and we've just heard three more arguments. Some have been answered. We were told to begin with it wasn't going to be allowed, but now everyone in the state's doing it. It just seems you don't want to do this. But I think if you use rationale, it's going to be easier. It's going to be more environmental. We're going to get more money, and it's sure going to be a relief for our constituents that have Airbnbs. We've received letters. I think it was a letter from one of legislator Litz's, an Airbnb owner, that sent a letter on how difficult this process that we're presenting her with is, and that it's expensive. She has to get her accountant involved, and now she's sending $3 checks by mail to the county for us to process. It really is something I hope we really, you know, we keep postponing. It just makes too much sense, which is why everybody else in the world, it's not often I get to say that, everybody else in the world is doing it.
Legislator Rodriguez.
I'm going to reiterate that there have also been numerous different, you know, issues that have sort of popped up along the way, at least questions that we wanted answered, and then it kind of just dies off. So I'm not placing blame on you. I'm placing blame on us because we're not following up, right?
I'd love to hear the questions.
No, honestly, I'd like to remember half the questions I asked. That's quite candid. No, because they were, and other people as well. So that's why I was just saying, can we wait a week? It's the only reason why I brought
it up. Sure, let's wait a week.
Okay. Motion to postpone.
Moved.
Second.
Till next week.
All in favor? So moved. Resolution 178, increasing the employee contribution towards the cost of health insurance benefits for new hire management non-union employees.
I'll move it.
Second.
This is something we've talked about. I have the health insurance rate grid here. You know, and then many years ago, we started asking the rank and file, as we've been through before. If nobody wants to ask management. I think the numbers Vicki worked up last year was something like $400,000 in savings. I can give you five or six examples of management that's received kind of unapproved raises over the past 2 years since I've been here. I just don't think it should have anything to do with pay or pay studies. We approved increases for other management positions a month or two ago without a study. This is just about right and wrong. It's right for the people at the top to pay 20%. It would be 95% of the county, the rank and file, the people putting their lives at risk, most of the time making less than us. It just is frustrating to my constituents when elected officials act as if the people at the top somehow are all the real talent. Trust me, we have thousands of constituents, each one of us, that could do our job as well as we do. And there are thousands of people in this county that would be great department heads and probably prioritize the greater good over themselves far more often than you see it happening. So why not everybody pay 20% towards their health care? We started asking, voting on approving and negotiating contracts with the unions for the last 10 years, asking them to go first to 15%, then to 20%. I'll remind you that elected officials will be going to it starting at your next election, and management and elected officials get a much better deal as far as their health care upon retirement, which is another pretty unfair thing. Maybe we'll address that next. I doubt it, but at the very least, we could pay as much as the people working under us. Okay. Seems pretty fair. If you're pro-union, you should definitely want to contribute 20% towards your health care like you've asked all the unions to. It's pretty hard to consider yourself pro-union if you're not going to go for this.
Any other questions?
Just a comment. I mean, I agree. We did pass a resolution to increase legislative. And quite honestly, at the town of New Paltz, I do pay in 20%, and I'm very happy to have insurance. And they're talking about raising it to maybe 22-25% very shortly.
You're managing.
And I'm managing. Yeah.
They did it.
And quite honestly, if I was looking for another job, it would have to have insurance. So I don't think putting in 20% would be a deterrent, not when you go on the state website and it's over $480 a month to have insurance that has $7,500 deductible before they start paying it, and then it's a 60-40. So, I think it's fair, not only from the economic standpoint, certainly, that's not why we're doing it, but just that it's fair and equitable across the board.
And this is for new hires?
Everybody's grandfathered in management here. No one that works at the county right now. But if you're hired new, you're good, Natalie. But if we would have passed this last year, you'd be at 20%. Can we ask Natalie if she still would have taken the job?
Let's not.
Legislator Hefner.
Yeah, I just wanted to share information because we talked about this in the Democratic caucus. The issue of the unions was brought up in terms of their position, where it would be them in terms of bargaining and stuff like that. We did get in touch with CSEA today, and their position was that they agree that all county employees should be the same. However, 20% is too high. It's what CSEA gave me as their official position.
So do you want us all at 15?
Yeah.
Well, they're paying 20%.
I know. Can we get another chair?
So this is the position that I would hold, is that we should have equity on this, and it should be at the lower amounts, and that by keeping where we are and then advocating for the all of the contributions to be lowered is a much better place for us to be. And it's basically what CSEA said. Yes, it should be the same, but 20% is too high, so we shouldn't go to 20% where we don't have to.
Chair Bartels?
Well, I have a couple questions. I mean, one, there's a salary study that's underway. Is that right?
That would be helpful, too.
That's my understanding, yes.
So, I mean, that would be helpful. I agree with this in concept in terms of the parity issue for new hires. It's a known quantity. You're accepting a job, and you're at the level of the organized labor and the working class in the county. I think, in theory, it'd be great to have it at a lower level and have it be lower for everyone. I constantly remember, and I'm grateful for my health insurance, but that we have really great insurance, and it's paid for by the taxpayers. So I don't see any time in the near future where we're going to be able to lower contributions without having to raise taxes. It would be an incredible financial burden to back down to a, let's say we go, okay, but why doesn't everybody only contribute 10%, which is not the norm in the private sector? That would mean that our taxpayers would have to pay more in taxes probably to offset that. I also looked into, when Joe brought this up and Legislator Maloney brought this up, I didn't know, because I haven't been and had private sector other than paid for by myself. I haven't had private sector from an employer insurance in a long time, and I didn't know that in the private sector, the contribution
60-40
levels are different.
60-40.
If you have family insurance or if you're single insurance, that's a benefit we don't have in the county. Everybody has it's the same whether you're a family insured or you're single insured. So, I think we do have a general especially, you know, for us, for management, I think it's good that we're going to the 20% as elected officials, and I would support the 20% for all new hires, but I am curious about what the salary study is going to show. So I don't know, do we know when the salary study is anticipated to come back?
No. It's being done by personnel, so. Yeah.
So we hired a firm.
No. Personnel did.
Personnel hired a firm.
Do you know? I don't know. We didn't have a date at the last time we spoke about
it. And we never had any input on what they were going to compare.
We did have input. Yes, we did talk to them. Yes, Joe.
I do think it's different. You do pay more even in the county if you have a family plan, I believe. But
not in terms of percentage. In the legislature, it's a flat rate of percentage contribution.
I think if you're a union member, it might be different, like everything else. But I will say this, that the idea that we should hold it here for the management, the people at the top, and work towards lower insurance is very unrealistic. For one, we just heard that people are talking about going 22, 25, 30%. That's where we're going. We are not going backwards. I know we want to. We are not going backwards. The cost of health care is skyrocketing. We are going to be talking about adding to those union members' insurance. What do you think is going to make us, the legislature, the executive, the management, the people that have to come up with ways to lower the insurance or at least get off the scary trend line we're on, what do you think is going to make us do that? Holding ours at 10% and wishing we could do better for the people under us, or actually matching them and trying to work towards it? I mean, it's just the right thing to do here is 20%. It's pretty cut and dry, in my opinion. This is for new management.
So by doing it for elected, for the legislature, we...
25 people.
We put ourselves in that realm. We know what our salary is, which was recently increased, and so gave us a place, I think, finding out what the numbers are for positions where we may be hiring people at a significant disadvantage in another way before we go across the board with some number that's, you know, looks good because it's the same as some other number. I'd rather have the data.
Manager.
I just want to say that I don't think our insurance is great, and I really wonder about the people that have had very serious illnesses. I just went for a very simple, routine office visit. It was $350. Insurance paid half. After I paid a copay, and after the county has paid, I think we've got a bigger problem than this. I do believe in fairness and equity. I'm leaning toward 15% because I think this is very regressive. And to think that it's inevitable is, I think, maybe defeatist. Most of my career, if you worked full-time, you had full-time benefits, mm-hmm. and they were paid for by your employer. And I know that this is inching in the wrong direction. But it certainly is a far cry from universal health care that many other nations, developed nations, enjoy. And I had two bills this month, and one was covered half, and the other wasn't covered at all for no good reason. So I have to come in and talk to personnel and find out, you know, try to sort through that. But I don't think we're going in the right direction, and I'm not sure what we can do at the county level, but I think this is somebody's getting really rich if I'm getting charged $350 to see a doctor for 10 minutes.
Okay. Yeah.
This is not something that, I mean, we can talk all we want about hoping to go the other way. This is a global issue. This is a national issue. Ulster County is not going to figure, let's be honest, we're not going to figure out. I mean, we can find some savings. We can get the best deal we can get. Our health care is getting increased over the next couple of years. We're going to be increasing the next couple of union contracts, we're going to be going. I mean, what the question here is, it's not about what we want or wish or what we hope we can do. This is, look, are we going to pay as much? Are we going to pay as much as the rank and file, or aren't we? That's the question. Are we going to contribute as much as we're requiring all these other people? A lot of them are young people with young families that are making a lot less than the people that are paying less. That's just, if you want to, then vote yes. If you don't, then just vote no at this point. But we're not going to fix this. It is a crisis, and no New York County is going to be able to fix this. They're all going to be upping and upping and upping, and certain counties will have management and elected officials contribute fairly along with the rank and file. Others won't. Do we want to be, which county do we want to be?
Okay, on the question, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Is everybody aye?
Yeah. One opposed.
I'm sorry, I didn't see yours.
Aye.
Yes.
Can I bring up a resolution for reconsideration? It's resolution 305. It's the Board of Elections. Sorry, I have more information.
Okay.
And then I'd like to. Can someone just second that?
Okay.
And then I'm going to ask that we postpone, but I first want to discuss. So while we were talking about other things, I wanted to see if I could find out how much the building was being sold for. This is the Board of Elections, and it's listed at $3,950,000, so it's probably outside of our price range. But
what's it on the market for?
$3,950,000 for.
It's not just that space.
Yes, multiple. But here's what I found interesting. It says on the listing, it says existing owner to lease back the first floor for a 10-year term for $12 per square foot on a net lease basis with 3.5-year options. So basically, our landlord is using us to negotiate a higher sale value
for sale
because they just raised our rent,
and now this is going to look lower.
And they're saying here from 9 to 14, saying
it's look lower.
We have a guaranteed rent.
Bernard Smith from Vandale is doing the same thing right now.
So I want to put this on hold, and I want to know who's negotiating this arrangement on our behalf, and we need to have a discussion about what we're doing moving forward very quickly.
Okay, so on the postponement on 305.
Well, we're postponing it just till next week.
Till next week.
Yes. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Yeah.
So moved. I just want to pass this out real quickly. We started to develop the finance team, Natalie, Amber. We've been talking about it at some point here as well. Just looking at indicators, leading indicators from an economic perspective, and we've put together like a quick dashboard for comment. If there's something you think should be added or something that's missing, but we'll talk more about it at next month's meeting.
This looks familiar.
But if there's some things that are missing, let us know. But we thought quarterly at minimum, it should go out to all legislators, just to give an indication of where we're at from a county perspective and where we're at from a sales, etc. So if there's any other data point that you think would be valuable, can you let Natalie know, and we'll talk about it at the August meeting. Anybody else have any new business or old business?
Motion to adjourn.
Okay. Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Before we adjourn, one question.
Sure.
How do they get with the boarding of the inmates at the jail? Do we get anybody to replace the ones we lost?
Not that I'm aware of.
No?
No, I don't think so.
You're going to get the old ones back either, right?
Nope.
That's
good.
I know, it's
good or
bad. $900,000. Just a round number.
Round number.
Just a round number.
What's that?
Last one.